The beginning of spring. The small annex of a great northeastern educational establishment. We open as Edward Ng walks up the steps.
Okay, I'm not recording a show per se. Okay, but, I'm preparing for Dragon Ball Z show. I don't know.
Excuse me, sir, can I see somebody?
Here you have it. Dragon Ball 101.
That's, first floor. You're gonna, two lefts and a right.
Okay, so here I am. I'm at the local learning annex. And I'm trying to, you know, pick up some knowledge on the Dragon Ball, and I don't know anything. By the way, to be continued, a Fanboy Podcast, you're not going to learn anything, maybe, but if you stick around, you just might have some fun. I'm Edward Ng, and again, I'm just recording this for maybe, I don't know, we're not doing a show or anything, and here we go. We have Bitcoin Crypto 101. We've got Podcasting 101. We've got Crypto Podcasting 101. We have Dragon Ball / Dragon Ball Z 101. This is it. Okay, I guess I paid like, you know, a few bucks for this, and here we go. Me. It's Miguel, Jonathan. What the hell are you guys doing here?
Ladies and gentlemen, please have your seats. Please have your seats.
I'm here to take Dragon Ball.
Yes, obviously, sir. So please sit down.
Come to the right place.
All right.
What are you guys doing here?
We're teaching the intro to Dragon Ball Z 101, man. That's what you signed up for, right? You didn't know. We've talked about this a lot, or you just didn't pay attention. Is that what it was?
I didn't know you guys would end up teaching this.
It's a side gig. You know, I mean,
since when?
It's a tough economy. Now, would you paid your money, right?
I could have gotten this for free, you know that, right?
That's the beauty of it. You didn't. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dragon Ball Introductory 101. Look to your left.
There's no one here.
Look to your right. One in four of you will not complete this class.
Wait, who's teaching it? Are you teaching it? Or are you teaching it? Who's teaching it here?
Jonathan, unfortunately, did not get quite the level of certification. He's very busy, so he'll be working as my TA here. I will be conducting the class. That is not to say that Jonathan is not, if not my equal or superior Dragon Ball scholar. He's working on his accreditation. That's really what it's all about. Do you have any other questions?
All right, fine.
All right, Jonathan, hit my theme music.
To Be Continued, a Fanboy Podcast. You can check us out at To Be Continued, a Fanboy Podcast.com. Please also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And you can also listen to us on our various platforms on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
To Be Continued is an adult podcast for adults by adults. We may talk about superheroes, sci-fi, comic books, and all sorts of similar crap like that. But we may use adult and frank language when we do so. This is not a podcast for kids, brothers and sisters. Enjoy.
And we are back here at the Learning Annex. This is money. To Be Continued, a Fanboy Podcast covering your fanboy passions. You're not going to learn anything, or
will
are
I?
You? But you will have some fun. Today is a bittersweet day. I am your host, Miguel Alejandro Velez, along with my TA co-presenter for today, Jonathan Vergara.
And
of Pancake Studios, and of
Los Depresos
Studios.
I am Ed, and I'm just taking class here.
Edward Ng, long-suffering co-host of To Be Continued, a Fanboy Podcast.
Let me tell you right now, like, this show is sort of like a begrudging sort of a thing, but this is also too big to ignore.
It's too big to fail.
Right, because the now you told me, hey, the death of Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball / Dragon Ball Z, has passed away, and... and somehow it's all over my feed, and it's created rumbles and ripples throughout.
I was surprised at how much you were like, we got to do this. But at the same time, going backwards to our previous episode, you also did like the speed run of Avatar: The Last Airbender and
successfully.
Korra. Successfully. No. Which I don't know. I'm going to get to how this
you want to see my metal bending?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe to the point of like me going like, I don't know, maybe this guy's getting a little full of himself. He thinks he's going to speed run Dragon Ball. But in terms of you were like, you're in the headspace of animated action martial arts stuff, right? I'm not saying Akira Toriyama died at a good time. It's a tragedy that we need to cover, but it is interesting that happened during this period where you're going through this, like, hey, I'm watching a lot of animated stuff.
But the ground zero is the coverage is because of this gentleman over here who has, been very much a part of our endeavor here, Jonathan Vergara. And when I think about Dragon Ball, and I know zero, nothing. Okay, that's not true. Maybe 0.5%.
Right, 0.5%.
Right? Not even, 0.2%.
0.2% right? Cultural intoxication or cultural contamination.
And it's such a big deal. And I know for years you've been saying, we gotta do a Dragon Ball. And I'm like, the voices and whatever.
Now, John is very, Jonathan is very, like, he's representative of the generation of Dragon Ball. You know, the time period of when he was a child and this was first hits. And slowly but steadily builds its fan base, and it's a huge part of, like, a huge childhood nostalgia thing.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Like, so we had to, you know, and John has always said, we got to do this Dragon Ball show, and I was only reticent because I don't want to say unfortunately, but I am well-versed in Dragon Ball. I watched the, having worked as in a comic book shop, in the 90s, when we were first getting the translations of the mangas in, first getting our first, like, little bits of anime coming into on VHS. So we're talking about, we're just starting to get, like, Fist of the North Star and some of the Dragon Ball movies. And some of it is, as Jonathan will have a story a little later, some of it was bootlegs and pirate copies of things.
Yeah, you were just telling us a story about...
Right, yeah, right. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Origin story.
Right, we'll get to that. And so I had a little bit of like, oh, here's this thing. Not a lot of knowledge, but then also it was also during that period that we were finally getting Dragon Ball animated into the States in, a couple of different companies like Toei, whatever, Funimation, and some of the other ones.
Exactly.
I want to say it was another company and then became Funimation, but I don't, I'm not... This is the thing. Early on, saw it. I want to say I was still living at home and caught it. And they were kind of showing Dragon Ball.
Tsunami, right?
No, this is pre. This is even later. It's in syndication and stuff. And caught a little. And it is Kid Goku. And it's not hitting with me. It's like 6 a.m. in the morning. I'm much, you're older. Maybe you were out all night partying with friends and, you get, it's Sunday morning. It's 6 a.m. You look at it going like, oh, well, what's on TV, whatever, while I'm making some pancakes. And what is this, Dragon Ball? Okay. And it didn't hit with me. It's years later, I've moved out and I'm back in New York City and you start to see that they had kind of shifted. They had kind of said, young Goku's not hitting. And at some point, they had started showing Dragon Ball Z. And that went over. Original Dragon Ball in America did not have the same effect as it did in Japan. Yeah. And so suddenly I'm seeing the fights and getting like people like, oh, if you like animated, martial arts stuff, watch Dragon Ball Z. And I'm like, okay, let me give it a shot. Again, the ubiquitous bootleg tapes that you're finding on Canal Street or in porno shops.
I'll be honest with you. That is, if I wanted to get a Dragon Ball Z like dub, I've never stepped foot in New York City.
I've never stepped foot in one.
Right, of course. Yes, you wouldn't know about this thing. So you watch it, and yeah, it's similar to Fist of the North Star. I'm getting what the, oh yeah, this is cool. But then also seeing the differences, like, but there's also this weird goofiness. There's stuff that I don't understand because it's very cultural. There's stuff that's very just, not just cultural, but very specific to Dragon Ball, that if you don't know the history or why this joke is supposed to be funny or what they're referencing, you're not going to get it. But the action was good. I always say that, you know, something like Fist of the North Star or Dragon Ball, I come to as a Superman fan first. And the idea of always being like, as a kid, you and I loving Superman 2, going, yes, that's what a super fight would be. And like, there should be tons of collateral damage and like incredible feats of strength. And when these guys are, it should rock hard. And then of course we're martial arts fans. So why can't Superman also like have a little technique in what he's doing? Wouldn't that make sense to have that? So you watch Dragon Ball, they're delivering on the action. It's big superpower fights. The designs are very interesting. They're very colorful, very distinct looking characters. And you get a sense, even when I'm in my 20s and an American comic book superhero guy, looking at this and going, oh, I get what this is all about. I get why this is, what the appeal is to a very large degree. Now, it's not exactly the same because, again, Japanese manga and especially Toriyama stuff is very, like I said, goofy, comedy-based. He's not nowhere near as serious in terms of themes or character as, say, what's happening in Fist of the North Star. Okay. Fist of the North Star literally is Bruce Lee, and Dragon Ball Z is Jackie Chan. To the point of, you know, he references that in calling one of the characters another name, Jackie Chun, you know, which I thought at the time was an Americanization, but is original to, that was literally was. Toriyama even, like, had got to meet Jackie Chan and, like, you know, when he was at the height of his career, and Toriyama was, you know, at the height of his, and there's like a meeting of the, you know, and you could see, oh yeah, that's what is baked into the part of this. Although I think the Americans, will get into the Americanization and how that, you know, they tried to push the He-Man, like, with that dragon, like the heavy metal Dragon Ball Z theme song and all the rest. Now, Ed, as you said, you not really familiar with Dragon Ball?
Not even familiar is not even the word. However, I mean, this is very much the impetus of why I said, we got to do this show. Aside from, you know, Jonathan pushing it for years, it's also because it permeated the properties, permeated the culture. When NBA guys are doing the whatever thing,
yeah,
with their
exactly.
Hands, when it's on shoes, when it's on shirts, merchandise, whatever.
If you're between 30 and 40 right now, you grew up with Dragon Ball. And it was a huge part of either your young kid years or your teen years.
And now, if you're pushing 50 like me,
you have no idea. Right. depending, unless you're a deviant like my ass. Now, John, of the two, like, you have no idea, but me and John are successfully ran the gauntlet of Dragon Ball, and a lot of it's even its sort of like offshoot thing, like some of the movies and series that were not based on Toriyama. Now, again, this is going to be both talking about Toriyama in the beginning, but then we are going to talk about Dragon Ball Z sort of like all over, you know. We can't go chronological. It's going to be a grab bag sort of like talk because Dragon Ball is just so gigantic. It's insane. Like, and you know, we'll also be talking about manga and anime in general.
Decades too.
Yeah,
you know, the show didn't just run a couple of years. It's like it runs from like 85. Dragon Ball Super wrapped in 2019.
Right, exactly. This is
which blows my mind. And so, like I said, I YouTubed a bunch of things, and I'm like, Dragon Ball Super, and like, this is stuff is still like current,
yeah.
relatively current. I'm like, this is crazy, you know.
Yeah.
But like,
and Toriyama was involved. This is a creator. Like, this is so. That's the other part. You have to have a little talk about what manga creators are and how they're viewed and the kind of pull that they have, as compared to what happens with a lot of American creators of things.
past, present, and probably future, unfortunately, but also the things in which there's a downside to that. We were talking in the car about like the use of, you know, assistants in a lot of that, where, you know, you get a name not too dissimilar from Bob Kane's Batman setup with DC. Remember where it was like he had his name on it, but he had like umpteen assistants under him, actually doing art, actually published sometimes, and he's just kind of putting a rubber stamp on it. You can't say that about Toriyama, however, in comparison to even, you know, his peers in the manga, but that we'll get to that. Now, John,
Before you get into that, like, so there's sort of a task that I have for you guys, which is convince me, because I'm, as a man that's pushing 50, right, you know.
Why should I care about
Why should
Goku?
I care?
Yeah.
Because I'm watching some of this, in brevity, the stuff that I've just grabbed from the from YouTube. And I'm like, I don't, like, there's a lot of,
sound skeptical.
It's like that episode, it's like that really early episode of The Simpsons, where The Simpsons travel to Japan. And they're watching the TV there, and they're having seizures. I'm watching this stuff like, you know, I'm like, oh my God, like there's so many, there's a lot of flash and strobe. And I'm like, I feel like I'm having a seizure just by watching it. That along with the, you know, which by the way, if you ever get to know Jonathan, that's him. That's a soundtrack to his, to
Sounds like Jonathan might have some sort of a blockage. Jonathan needs more stool softener.
So convince me. I mean, pain.
I'm going. Here's what I'm going to say about that. That's not happening. I'm sorry, Dragon Ball fans, and I don't mean to neg you guys or tweak you or anything like that. I have to just be honest in saying, even myself, who went through the whole gauntlet and watched all of the, you know, pre-GT Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, I'm never going to tell someone, you know, oh yeah, you should sit down, watch it. I think it's, I don't want to damn it with faint praise, but that is what it's going to come across as, because it is what it is. I'm not going to project on it a level of depth or anything that is not there to recommend someone. If you like cool fights, that is the level to which I, you know, enjoy it. While I also do understand some of the inspirational stuff and why it resonates with very, very young people. And thus why they'll carry their fandom, you know, getting older. I think even older fans of Dragon Ball will go like, it is what it is. Like, you know, these, you know, what do you want out of
that? That's pretty much what I'm seeking as someone who's watching you guys in your discussion about this, is tracing the line, the DNA line from that to something like Avatar, you know, or how it came to influence other things.
That without a doubt is probably the bigger thing in terms of if you were going to talk to someone about saying you should watch Dragon Ball would be, hey, whether you like this property or not, its influence is gigantic. Toriyama's influence is gigantic across multiple genres. Talking about a guy who not just with manga and anime, but Dragon Quest, RPGs. He did designs for video games that were
Chrono Trigger.
I mean, like, huge things. So, like, that is a, if I'm going to recommend and say, yo, you want to get into it, it would be maybe on that quote-unquote scholarly level of saying, yeah, there's a lot of cool fight stuff. You may not be able to really get into it, but you're going to see why all this other stuff is like it, not too dissimilar in a way to like Star Wars, you know? Like, there may be someone who honestly doesn't, like, I don't give a crap about the Force. I don't care. Even while your hero's journey depth you see is there, all I'm seeing is the pew-pew-pews. But there's like, I know it's important. I know, so let me familiarize myself with all of these things that have now metastasized throughout the culture. So I can't ever say that you're going to get convinced or that I'm going to try. Because I can't say it is what it is, but what it is insanely influential, and
it's the Beatles of anime.
There's a reason he's, like you said, the term godfather of manga, the, you know, the greatest mangaku of all time. The, you know, he has that, and also there's also something to be said about the fact that Toriyama, you know, once we start getting a little bit, we're not going to go super deep. We can't pretend to be experts on his life. We had to like kind of like, you know, but he kind of also is a hero for guys of his generation, and that specifically in Japan, and then an archetype throughout after of the guy who's a fan of something. You know, the story is very compelling. He's a fan of something, and he will work himself to the bone to try and get into that industry, and finds himself in there, still, you know, gets knocked up and down there, but then eventually settles into, oh no, you're the GOAT. And he's the GOAT for a really, really long time. And he's very inspirational to people who want to get into that, or inspirational in general. There are people who are like, I got into Dragon Ball, I learned about Akira Toriyama, and he's like their Bill Gates. Whatever those people got into, they were like, I gotta remember when Akira Toriyama was like still living at home with his mom and his dad, like trying to get his dream off the ground. Not just in, you know, Pan-Asian culture, but it started to be a thing here in America when you have guys in their 30s who may have started to really be real otakus, and like they're genetic scientists, they're lawyers, they're cops, whatever. But they still hold the inspiration of Dragon Ball and Toriyama as a part of their life. So, you know, we like, but can I ever pretend to tell you that this is going to convince you? It's not. And also, again, trigger warning for Dragon Ball fans. I'm going to be, I always have, you know, I hold the right to my own opinions. I don't hold Dragon Ball in the highest of esteem. Again, I watched it all. This is not someone who's hating. You're going to say hating. From any position, I admit what it is and its limitations, but don't count me completely out. Again, I'm in my 20s. I was not a kid, and I was like, yeah, I got to go to Canal Street and I got to get more bootlegs because this is cool. I want to watch these fights. I think this is cool stuff.
So speaking of fans,
I have an appreciation.
Speaking of fans, John, recount how you were trying to grab for this particular show. There was a ringer that you'd found.
Yeah, out. Yeah. Because don't get me wrong, I love Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z. I grew up on it, but it kind of stayed in my childhood. I didn't, like, as an adult, I didn't rewatch it, reappreciate it, rediscover it. So we need someone who's today
a super fan
to kind of counterbalance us. Found this young lady named Black Bulma, right? And she has almost 200,000 followers. That's all she talks about all day, every day. Dragon Ball Z, she loves it.
I'm sure I'd get a lot more pushback if someone like that was here.
Exactly. I feel like she would maybe do a little better job of just pushing back a little and maybe going into a little more depth than us. But
we don't have someone.
But we don't have
someone younger and better looking than you. We've got you. So that's just what we're gonna have to make do with.
So, yeah, and, you know, it's very illustrative of Dragon Ball Z fans always showing up late to the discussion.
But here's the funny thing, though, but, like, John texted me, he's like, oh, I've got this person.
Yeah.
Maybe we can convince this person to show up, and then... I think you tried to contact... I tried to contact her, and then I'm looking at her content.
You see her, right?
Right.
Crazy Dragon Ball Z.
She's an apologist.
Yeah.
Right? An apologist that's like, you know, there are these other people who are making comments like, name an anime that's inferior, and then someone says,
yes, like, the Dragon Ball fans like, can be very venomous.
Seething.
Right. So John's going to have to, you know, fill up that role, unfortunately. Or fortunately. You know, it's a lot on your shoulders.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's not pretend. I'm not going to bash it. I'm just going to what I think. Now, John, you, as you said, so you grow up, you're a kid. What were you into watching before you kind of got into Dragon Ball, and then Dragon Ball comes along and you're like, yeah, okay, and everyone and all your peers are also, so.
Yeah, so I was watching a lot of Batman, the animated series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the time.
And did it air on WB11 too? Or do you get WB11?
No, it was originally on Fox. It was a part of the Fox Kids thing in 92. Right. It switched when WB wanted to get into making a network, and we got that.
Right.
We got WB, which then becomes the CW, and that was, and so they were like, hey, we're taking what's ours, Batman, away from you guys, and we'll be broadcasting it here.
It was an early day Netflix Disney.
Yeah, it was similar to that. So that was sort of the Zeitgeist X-Men animated. Yeah.
I remember being a little kid, and some of my earliest memories coming home from preschool or elementary school is watching Batman. And then out of nowhere, one day, my brother is watching this crazy fighting and people screaming and yelling, people powering up. I was like, what is this? And my brother is just like, oh my God, this is the greatest new show ever I've ever seen. And I started watching it. And then it turns out all of my peers in school were watching it.
I got into it, yeah.
And that's what I found really interesting is that it has such a urban culture following, and how now it's really permeated. Like I said before, you find NBA.
Well,
yeah.
I think
you know,
in the same sense
out.
Of in the 70s and 80s, you would have those dudes, black guys, let's be honest, black and inner city dudes,
in
way into Bruce
martial
Lee.
Arts, yep.
Way into Bruce Lee, yep. You know? Like, I mean, who is it? Wesley Snipes. You know, guys would be like, he would talk about how, like, he would walk down with, like, the kung fu vests and shit. Just, that's how, because he was into Bruce Lee, and he was like, there's always been that sort of, like, I think, you say it as an Asian man saying, you know, if I squint a little, maybe Superman might be Asian.
Appropriation.
Yeah. Okay. Because you're like, look, this culture's not giving me my own heroes that I can super latch onto. So if I can find something that is coded non-white, at least it's got like, even if it is another culture that's not Africanized in any way, if it's not, these aren't like, it's not Caribbean, African, you know, diaspora. It's like, yeah, this is supposed to be Japanese or Chinese, but you take it because you don't have anything else.
Which is very interesting because what I gathered so far, and again, because Dragon Ball, you know, it does spawn from the 80s. And even as a young teenager, I did see the property or whether it's on TV or it's in drawings or whatever in art. Like I told you, I said, there's a picture in a magazine of a little Goku.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I'd ask my dad, like, you know, it's like, hey dad, you know, what's that,
this kanji here? What is this?
Well, yeah. What's that Chinese character in the back of his orange tunic, whatever? And my dad's like, oh, it's Turtle. And I'm like, okay,
all right,
let's get back
into
it. I don't know what that is, you know, but how it does spawn inspired from Journey to the West.
Yeah, well, again, we're gonna get into that. So, John,
but I think maybe you guys are touching up on something, because all the TV shows, all the cartoons at the time, like you said, it was like Superman, it was Batman, then maybe something like the Animaniacs.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen, I think it also took over because we've never seen anything like it. It, like, really, it was new. It was truly new.
The ability to broadcast an action-based Japanese anime, right, had been limited because so much of the good stuff, as we would say, ain't good for kids, right?
Right.
Now, even though Dragon Ball, as Toriyama originally envisioned it, as it was in Japan, has a lot more racier stuff, has a lot more, we would say, it's like, it's funny to say, because it's all done goofily, so you can't really say mature content, because there's not like, a, you know,
yeah,
explicit
and I said, like,
sexual stuff per se. There's a lot of sex, there is still sexual stuff.
There's a huge controversial scene, and I feel like if it was aired today, it would be just as controversial or more. But when Goku slaps Bulma's...
I was about to bring that up, which is a GIF, a popular meme.
Yeah.
Well, like
there's a lot of like,
and that was like 85,
right? And that's the thing that shows you the difference in what the audience is for this property in America as compared to where it was in Japan.
And you're right. I feel like Dragon Ball Z was more of, I don't want to say dumbed down, but you didn't have stuff like that.
It was the let's make it this a little more serious while still being in the world and tone of it, but it was more serious. So he didn't have room for that kind of stuff. It was like, hey, the plot's moving forward. We're on Namek. We're doing this. I don't have time to slap asses. But that still wasn't that still, which is Toriyama, you fool. There's always time. So, you know, it's hitting, like you said, you didn't see anything like that had both, like, these sort of, like, things that even you can tell these goofier moments this stuff that's the beginning of meme culture, where, again, the day after, everyone said, as soon as it happened, his power is over 9,000! Yeah. You know, you get into the fact that the anime also has to have the dub, and the dub voices becoming ironically iconic, because let's be honest, there's always this issue with dubs, and the fact that the voices don't always match the mouths, and the sort of, again, the weirdness of having to have the do those grunts and growls and all the rest, and a lot of these guys doing multiple voices in a single, you know, whatever episode. It has a kitsch appeal, not to, you know, this is, you know, again, I don't want to sound like I'm knocking Dragon Ball, but this is important part of, like, the appeal. When you and I were kids, getting back to saying, talking about Channel 5 or Channel 11, Sunday, Kung Fu movies, right? The dubbing, like with the kaiju movies, is kind of part of the package.
I don't understand what you're talking about. I mean, are you referring that whenever I move my lips, what comes out of my mouth doesn't match? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, but Edwin, there's someone outside right now that you have to fight.
And then Follies.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is the thing. You and I growing up, it was just part of the, like, you had to accept that as part of the... And eventually, as adults, you say it's part of the charm. There's no difference with the voice acting if you can, and the grunts and all. It becomes part of it, right?
But some things get lost in translation because, again, what I gathered, things like I will send you to another dimension.
Home for Infinite Losers.
Right, you know.
I'll feed you to my fireball.
What?
it's a thing that hits, and it's, you see what the appeal is, even with the elements that, you know, might be like, oh, that's silly or goofy. But it builds and it builds and it builds. And that's the other part, is it's a serialized thing. Whereas, you know, even the top tier cartoons at the time, like I said, your Batman, the only two that I can think of from a similar period that is really doing serialized is the X-Men cartoon and the Spider-Man cartoon. Batman not so much. Batman is, you can throw all of those episodes in the air, and unless it's very, very specifically calling back to another episode, maybe like a Ra's al Ghul thing, or whatever.
Like, they're all standalone.
Like, they're very standalone. You can broadcast them out of order, and it doesn't really that matter. X-Men was not that case. Spider-Man was not that case. And Dragon Ball was not that case. It was each week, here's what the going to the next format is. So,
yeah, the cliffhangers killed
me. Yeah, exactly. The drawn out, you know,
at the time, the
fight that takes 10 episodes.
Were these dailies or weeklies?
I think they were dailies.
I believe that when they started, it was like they would show it on the weekends more. And as the popularity grew, and of course because they had a backlog, they had seasons worth of it.
So it was,
they
eventually like, were like, you would get off of school, John, and
3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know.
Run home.
Here's Dragon Ball
Watch
Z.
Dragon Ball Z.
Again, part of the charm is this, like, you said that you learned about that Saban was part of the initial, you know, the guys behind the Power Rangers, you know, theme song, which is probably the previous big Japanese import to hit us, and you know.
Oh, that's the Rock the Dragon, right? That's
yeah.
The Rock
Dragon. And
I knew that.
I
knew that reference.
Is it Rock the Dragon or Ride the Dragon?
Oh, Ride the Dragon.
We were saying right before. John was like, wait, Rock the Dragon? I thought it was Ride the Dragon. I said yes, because, you know, the truth is Dragon Ball Z is all about heroin addiction.
Gotta start him young.
You know, and then it was like, yeah, you know, you mean like the Opium Wars? Yes, the British intelligence created Dragon Ball to addict the Japanese. But let me ask you a question. So, obviously, it's the action, the big, bright colors. Goku has just been beaten down.
Yeah.
And he gets some encouragement from someone. Please, give us some of your talent, John. So Goku's just been beaten down, and go.
King Kai, I don't have enough energy.
Bullshit. You gotta look deep down inside yourself and then find the power to defeat Frieza.
There's a kitsch aspect as well that even a kid is gonna like have fun with. You're gonna do that voice on the playground. You're gonna do that voice in class, right? So you have that.
That's
like
enough cockroaches. well.
I miss old Bear. I miss bear voiced Piccolo.
Coming up against me is suicide.
Now do you have a Frieza with his?
No, I couldn't do Frieza. But
you're like nothing but a monkey.
Yeah.
That's the cyborg.
Eventually. Oh, okay. You haven't even seen his final form. I was talking to this guy before about how like have you ever heard the term like this isn't even my final form? That just became a huge thing. Yeah. Now just a little bit of background of Toriyama, the creator of this. And the reason why we're doing this show right now is because you know he passed away. He was 68.
68, I believe.
Very young. Not young, but yes, young. But also, what's tragic is he just announced a bunch of new shows.
Right, and that he was
called Diyama.
Yeah, that he was still involved with the franchise. Dragon Ball Super has been going strong with his overall. Based on his, he was obviously not in the daily grind of it anymore. But this was still his hand on the lever of where this was gonna go.
Stanley.
Yeah, so young guy, very, very, very influenced by the manga and anime of the time when he was growing up. He's in his 20s and the 70s. And John, it was an interest. Obviously, you have something like Astro Boy, which is highly influential.
Flying
Exactly, all the rest of that stuff. Also, like, the thing about Astro Boy is always weird to me is like you look at it and you go, oh, it's so fun looking. And this guy, kind of weird, this naked flying boy, but okay. But then you learn about it and it's like, what is this like existential nonsense? This is like super deep and it's supposed to, or at least supposed to have touch on some pretty deep, interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. An American thing that was highly influential on him was, believe it or not, 101 Dalmatians.
Hysterical. The cartoon, right?
We're talking about.
We're talking about the 70s.
And, you know, that's a later production of the sort of the classic Disney era, but, you know, still Disney always had a lot of influence on artists in Japan. And you can see some of the Disney-fied aspects in some of his work. Young guy, he's trying to make it as an illustrator. He's living with his parents and he's still in his 20s. And he is working local advertising jobs, things like that. So, he is schooled. He gets his foot in the door of making a living, but not that well. And then he just decides, I'm going to follow the dream. I'm going to try and be a manga creator. And kind of keeps getting, you know, the door slammed in his face, you know, reaching impasses that he can't move forward. He gets someone who does believe in him, you know, who becomes eventually his editor at Shonen Jump, and he, you know, has some things submitted again. It's a rocky start. He gets some stuff published. Then, you know, there's no biting on it because the manga, it's a very competitive field in Japan. And, you know, the Shonen Jump magazine would have these things where they'll give you here's a showcase. Show us a little something. Well, then, if we like it, we'll then put it into this a one-shot sort of slot in the magazine, and if the fans like it, we'll pick it up, which is a good way of, you know, trying
testing
to figure out
the waters, yeah.
But is a shark tank for all the creators because you go like, I got to get that spot. It's like the guy who wants to, you know, who's working on SNL. It's like, I need to write a sketch that's going to, you know, in 1 week,
is
going to make it on the show. Mm-hmm. This is the world that he's coming up in, and he finally sort of hits with this thing, Dr. Slump, which is, again, sort of a comedy, goofy sort of thing. He's very much the illustrator's illustrator type guy. He wants to draw, and it's a fun, campy romp.
Sorry, I just thought of a slogan, bit of a monkey wrench, Akira Toriyama. The first man to question gender identity.
Okay. Right. Why, and why is that, Jonathan?
I went back to the Bulma slap.
Okay. Right. Anyway. All right. Anyway, you can't self monkey wrench. That's not the. That's what. But so he finally makes it with this Dr. Slump thing, and then it sort of becomes a very big hit. He has some other things here and there. He's also trying another period of time. Dr. Slump becomes an anime, which again. Dr. Slump in Japan starts getting ratings that are like literally a 36% of the viewing audience on any night Dr. Slump in Japan is being broadcast is watching Dr. Slump. I can't even, that's Seinfeld level shit.
That's a third of.
That is a gigantic amount of the television audience. So he's doing well, and he brings it to another level with both the manga and the anime because he introduces this arc of a race, and it's a tournament, and it's a whole thing of like, oh, we're following the people in the race, how they're doing it. He puts that out, it's so compelling, he puts that in his back pocket for later on for obvious influence. But he does start get burned out on Dr. Slump. Even being
was it
a,
like every day or.
Yeah, well, we were talking about how they produce manga in Japan, and most of the big names that you have with manga, this is just the truth. Yes, they may get the initial thing off the ground. They may be the initial like creator, but once they get up and running, they delegate. Yeah, they have assistants who do a lot of work. Toriyama, during this period, even after he gets married, most of the time he's pumping this out himself at month after month. Overseeing whatever's going, you know, helping with the anime, and his wife might be the only person he has like do help him with some stuff. Most of the time, it's just him, and he's getting burned out.
What I gathered, you know, was that so if you look at some of the way these things are animated, right? So what the creation of the Super Saiyan, which is a blonde version of Goku, right? You know. He got tired of, this is legend, I suppose, that he got tired of shading it black, which is why it's just easier to just make it yellow.
Right? Right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, we joked in the car, it's like, hey, Yama-san, you ready to make the...
Well, we're getting into that, right? So that is the whole thing. They were the people who were making money off of Dr. Slump, and outside of Toriyama, were like, look, as long as you can do this, we'll keep giving you money. And he was like, I'm getting burned out. I don't really, I've said all I've said with this. I just want to, you know, I kind of want to do something different. I want to end it on, you know, and it's so popular. You get that Seinfeld thing bringing it up again of like, I have to end this. So we have to end on a high note. I don't want to do this to the point where people are sick of us. It says something. And so, he convinces them to do that, but they're like, however the reasoning was, whatever the, you know, the motivation, whether they told him he had to, whether it was a contract, I don't know. It was like, okay, we'll let you end this. But in 3 months, you got to give us the next new big thing. No pressure. Again, already at the height, already this anime is going forward. We're into like, you know, we're getting into like 83, I guess.
I will produce this for you in 3 months. If this doesn't happen, I will commit happily seppuku. In front of you at the your office.
So he...
My blood is red ink.
He has to sort of like rack his brain to like find something to replace Dr. Slump. And
I had a look up Dr. Slump.
It's not... It's very much like early Dragon Ball. You know, again, it's the characters are all chibi-ized. It's sort of like his version of Astro Boy because the main character is this like robot. Yeah,
I started recognizing it. I'm pulling it up right now. I started recognizing it.
This is his like the main character is this robot girl. So it is very much
which happens to be like it's a satire commentary on.
Oh, that's deep.
You know,
now an episode of Dragon Ball Super is so much more powerful right now. There's a random character in Dragon
Ball Super. He does eventually integrate a lot of Dr. Slump stuff into. His stuff. He integrates a lot of things into like you could almost say the Toriyama verse, because he produced some one-off stuff that Dragon Ball Super has this like space space cop character?
Yes.
That's from a completely separate manga that he had produced before he started getting back into it. And he was like, hey, well, why don't I pull this guy thing? He's a space cop. Huh? It would make sense to, like, you know, he would be involved in this stuff. Yeah. He does that with, you know.
So he's doing 30, 40-year callbacks.
Absolutely. It is so because here's the thing. You got to understand, this is not a thing he did that wasn't popular. This was the other thing he did before he began. This is to put it into rock and roll terms, this is when Page was with the Yardbirds.
Right.
Before he did Led Zeppelin. Right? It was still an incredibly popular thing that, you know, oh yeah, you know, this is going to be going for, you have no idea what's coming. You know, right. That sort of thing. So, he's got to come up with the next big thing. Now, during this period, surprisingly enough, we got to talk about Fist of the North Star, another very famous, very popular fight, you know, anime manga from Japan, and it hits. Now, he had never really done anything like that. As a lot of guys his age, he was into action. Almost every single talk of, you know, I've ever heard about him is talks about his love of, you know, Chinese martial arts movies, that sort of thing. It makes sense. Now, Fist of the North Star, for anyone who's not familiar with it, is set in like a post-apocalyptic world.
Ultra-violent.
Ultra-violent, super-powered martial arts type characters. The main character, you know, Kenshiro, he looks like the Road Warrior meets Bruce Lee. Mm-hmm. Right? It's ultra-manly, super, like, stern, serious, to the point of almost parody, quite frankly, Now, it had become popular in the period of time between when he had stopped doing, like, Slump. I think there's no doubt that at some point he probably was like, I need to get into this is where it's going, fighting stuff is, you know, it's going to be popular. And also because he wanted to do something that would have maybe sometimes a little more seriousness than what he had done with Dr. Slump. So finally, you can see he comes up with Dragon Ball Z. He gets this, and I'm sorry, Dragon Ball. He comes up with sort of the basic ideas, a little bit of taking of the, you know, Journey to the West, which, you know, the very famous text about, you know, the transmission of Buddhism and, you know,
Cantonese, Sun Hong, or as commonly known as Sun Wukong.
Sun Wukong.
And yeah. Wukong. I think Goku is where they get that.
There's a little play on words with that.
There's a
play on words. There's also a thing where he has, again, there's a lot of comedy. So also there's like a way you can say that Goku's name just means like rice in Japanese. And there's a lot of food based puns and stuff that gets into his goofiness.
That's what I kind of wanted to get
Goku-san.
More of. I mean, because from the stuff that I did see, I'm like, oh, this is really wacky kid stuff. Is there anything more there to draw from substance? And the Journey to the West angle, which is like, so, okay, Goku is the Monkey King, right? He grows up to be a teenager. Bulma is supposed to be the analog to the person with the mission
that he happens to be on the right. Now the difference
there's a pig character, and
the thing is
the mythical Dragon Balls too, doesn't it?
Those are supposed to be the scrolls,
I guess.
Those are the gauntlet.
So the Journey to the West, John,
Infinity Stones.
If you're not aware, is a very famous novel from ancient times, right? You know. Where it tells a story of a monk who tries to bring Buddhism.
He's given a divine mission to
spread it, right? To evangelize from India all the way through.
But now here's the thing.
To the West.
But of course, Buddhist monks are not violent or whatever, right? This is, we're way before Shaolin or any of that stuff, right? So, if you're going to tell the story of a monk doing it like, well, this guy's going to need protection, right? Or some, you know, now you can go that in many ways.
Yeah.
You could have written that as just, oh, this guy is given this mission and the universe just provides for him. He doesn't really need to rely on anyone because, you know,
he's looking off the land.
You know, things just happen for him, and that's because he's so divine. You could do that.
Yeah.
but it would be boring. I'm sorry. I guarantee you that is the mindset of the person who came up with this years ago and all the people who continue to try. It was, yeah, we could do that, but it would be, yeah.
So who wants to hear that? So here comes this character, the Monkey King, right? You know, who is assigned to protect him, but at the same time, he's a trickster. He doesn't really care about anything. Yet he's
kind of Loki and Thor combined.
That's exactly what it is.
He's a cunning trickster, kind of layabout, but also this insane warrior who can, like, you know, has every possible power under the sun, yet is forced to be the bodyguard of this guy, and they get into all sorts of wacky adventures and collect all of these different, you know, friends along the way.
Yeah. But it seems with Goku, and I think this is why it makes it a little hard to relate to, is that he's very innocent. Like, he has this very innocent, bright-eyed, bushy way of looking.
Yeah, there's no, like,
there's no real depth to the character himself.
Outside of fighting, he's very guileless, which is not, and humble. Which is not, except for, like, I want to really fight and train, but he's not a guy of airs, which is very different from the Monkey King, who is super arrogant because he knows how powerful and how wonderful he is.
And he's just very curious, and he just wants to, he pokes and prod not to be a jerk, but he's just genuinely.
But he's a child too, right?
Very childlike, yes, very childlike. So,
but unfortunately, that's the same personality. Now he's like 50 or 60. Right?
Well,
same exact.
He's the same guy, exactly. Yeah. That hit on the head. So, like,
there's a childlike innocence.
There's this childlike appeal to it, and he starts off the manga with the basic concept of here are the Dragon Balls, here are the characters, and yes, just like you said, Journey to the West. It is the sort of, like, we're going to collect some friends along the way. It goes over like gangbusters, and then he ups it when he really starts focusing on the martial arts tournament aspect. Again, probably to compete with things like Fist of the North Star and some of these other mangas at the time. That really brings it into the next level. That is when people become like, yes, I gotta see what it is.
Well, I mean, despite the popularity of Fist of the North Star, I mean, you and I, we've said this over the years, and I remember watching it, and I go, it's not the best thing in the world. I mean, I understand that visually it's very electric. The whole, you know, like, there's that.
If you're a young guy and you like action, there's understandable why, and which is where I come from, as I would say nominally a fan of Dragon Ball and Fist of the North Star. I go, like, I will say some later Fist of the North Star stuff is pretty deep, is pretty cool. It gets into some stuff. The villain in it is very interesting, maybe a little more interesting than the hero. But Dragon Ball, again, is a goofier, more fun, even when it starts getting serious with the martial arts tournament. And you're watching it as young, you're seeing these sort of things. I think that a big part of Goku's appeal.
But my way into it, though, was Dragon Ball Z first.
Right.
Then I had to go backwards to Dragon Ball.
To Dragon Ball. As did a lot of people because we weren't available. How it was. And eventually, they would do blocks. They would start showing, you know, hey, Dragon Ball at 4, Dragon Ball Z at 4:30.
Yeah.
We have this case where you start seeing the martial arts get more to the forefront. The goofier stuff is still there.
It becomes martial arts, is it now? I mean,
no, it is. It's Goku as a character is all about the training, and that's getting into the part that I was about to say. I can see why a young kid's Goku has an appeal because, as I've said to you, you know, in previous conversations, even though he's the main character or develops into the main character of the whole franchise. He is incredibly powerful, shown. He doesn't win the World Martial Arts Tournament early on. He keeps losing. It isn't until he's a teenager, he's 19 or whatever, that he finally, you know, accomplishes what he wants. And that part of Goku of, I'm always going to improve myself, I'm always looking to challenge myself, even if he is a very simplistic, very straightforward character who also is, like, morally neutral. He doesn't really stand for anything other than I want to be a good fighter to whatever, to prove that I'm, you know, I'm the greatest whatever. But not in an arrogant way, just like he really loves fighting and he really, that's part of his nature. But that aspect, I'm always going to work hard. I'm going to, you know, Goku is, has that, I think the appeal you have of a Batman is compared to someone with Superman, where people look at Superman, they go, he's been given everything. He's powerful. He has all those strengths. He didn't work for any of it. Oh, I love Batman because Batman, you know, yeah, I get it. The, you know, having a goal and trying to meet it. Goku has that. And that's a big part of the stories eventually of Goku always either trying to master a new technique or just generally get stronger. So he works out. He does things to increase his power. You're a young, it's a young man testosterone stuff that not only for a kid who's nine, for a kid who's 14, 15, who's like maybe into basketball, maybe into football, whatever. Yeah, Goku's my man. Like he always wants to do the, you know, do the one more rep. He always wants to run the one more farther. That part of it. And again, if you were into martial arts, if you're a young guy who's into martial arts, man, Goku is like, oh yeah, man, I'm going to do the weight vest and shit like that.
Definitely is the original motivational speaker. You can do it one more time. Push just a little harder.
And I will never give up, right? Yeah, that goes with the ghost. That goes with the voice acting. How the voice acting is done is like, and I will never give up so long as I have power.
That's a hilarity. Like over the since the death of Toriyama and our conversations that we've had over the week, you know, and you're just working really hard just to describe what this all means, because I would call him like, you know, I don't know anything about this. Mm-hmm. There is also the power of friendship. You know, which is what they lampooned on us, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know, the power of friendship and karate, you know, which...
Are you saying Dayman's Goku?
You know what?
If there is not a Dayman going Super Saiyan gif out there, the internet has failed us.
But see, that's the other thing. It's like the power of friendship, which is, again, like... coming out of Avatar, the power of friendship is a thing, you know.
And becomes a staple of that sort of, you know, there's a lot of, I've always said, of Goku's coterie that is around him are almost exclusively guys he fought, who were his antagonist characters, who then they befriend. Oh, this Goku guy is really cool. Or you changed my mind. You know, I'm on the wrong side. Now I'm, you know, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a character called Vegeta. And I told you, like, he starts out as their General Zod and just kind of becomes their Wolverine. There's a lot of that in the franchise that is influential. You see it in a lot of different shows. There's a term sometimes in Dungeons and Dragons that has started to get very popularized, called the Lancer. That's when you have a group dynamic and you'll have like the main hero, square jawed, nice, you know, pure hearted, and his rival, who doesn't necessarily have to be his opposite,
right,
but he is his rival, mm-hmm, probably an antagonist again, as to start with, becomes part of the group, and he's like he's the second guy. Spock. Spock would be the Lancer of Kirk's Trek.
I get it.
The guy who you, in some ways, you may think, maybe this guy should be in charge. Like, I like this guy more than
Which is
I like
why you bring up Wolverine, right? You know, Wolverine is not Cyclops.
Right, exactly. Right. And again, he's not the leader. He's not the guy who's the, but he's there to be the tough enforcer. Yeah. He's there to be the guy who...
Are we getting into characters? Sorry.
He's the guy who's sort of like... Well, if this guy's getting his ass kicked, then we absolutely need the main hero, right? That's that sort of thing. Those dynamics absolutely are the sort of things that start spreading out. The fact that tournament arcs become so popular is, you know, also in Dragon Ball sort of influence to things. Now, the anime becomes popular in Japan. He rides that through that. He's this insane success story. You know, guy who used to live with his parents, you know, even after he got married. Finally, we get to the end of Dragon Ball, which he kind of wanted to do a couple of times. If you ever watch it, there is this sort of sense like, well, after Cell... Maybe that should have been it. We'll talk about like sort of where the goes. There's this like there's this big arc where he becomes the Super Saiyan, and that's the fight against Frieza. And then the next big arc is essentially the Cell arc, where we.
Where's Dragon Ball Z?
We're not just yet. John had to leave the room for a couple of seasons to follow. You get to a point where I told you Goku has a son, and like there was this idea to either like hand it off to the son character.
Yeah.
So wait. So hand it off to son, or end it right there. There's your whole thing. But it again, so popular, we got to bring it back.
We need a new show in 3 months.
Exactly. That's why he's got to come up with Boo, and then eventually all that leads through that, and then eventually his end to Dragon Ball. And his end was in the manga, anyway, literally, Goku does this, and he just, I think differently from the anime, it's not that Goku kind of finds the reincarnation of Boo and is all like, okay, I'm going to train this guy to be, to be a good guy now in his new reincarnation. And, you know, once he's powerful enough, we'll have our fight to finally decide who's... No, he just like kind of like in the manga, he kind of... I've done everything. I'm off to search the universe for new opponents to fight, you know, holding my, you know, to let my pure heart, you know, find what I can. And like, that's supposed to be the end of it.
And that is the hilarity of it also, because there was this one commentary YouTuber... that does this like 6 minute breakdown about like everything that happened, whatever. The original Dragon Ball series ends, you know, because he's a kid, and then comes the next wave of it.
Because right? Dragon Ball Z,
and there's exploring just a quick commentary discussion on the sexuality of this universe, right? Which is not because it's a kid show. Right?
Here, it's a kid show,
and then. Dragon Ball Z comes in. Oh, guess what? You know, he grows up and he has sex and he has a kid, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I wanted to bring that up. Isn't it funny that you have, like, most of Dragon Ball, he's a kid. And then it's the very end of Dragon Ball, he's, like, maybe a teenager. And Z, he's an adult with a kid. But it's crazy that you got, like, 100 episodes of him being a kid and, like, 3 episodes suddenly he's a man. I always thought that was funny.
There's a time, that goes with again Toriyama saying, "If
time
I'm
jumping.
Gonna, I need
time
a,
skipping.
I need a time skip because I want to start really making the martial arts, the battles, really the focus here,
yeah.
And I can't do that with the kid as much as
the
I
kid you know. With a stick.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. When it finally reaches its end, he sort of like wipes his hand with it. I'm done. They do make continuation anime. Dragon Ball GT, which is a touchy subject among fans,
We gotta get through Z though.
No. I'm talking about Toriyama right now. We're not really talking about the show per se. Eventually, GT being what you know has its run, and he is brought back for, as you said, Dragon Ball Super, and he has his hand on the tiller still. He's doing other stuff, like I said, that space cop sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you know, brings that into Dragon Ball. And then we get eventually Dragon Ball Super not only becomes an anime, but this has a manga that becomes an anime. Tons of movies and other things have been produced, as you said, and finally had its sort of like its wrap up in 2019.
Yeah, as far as the cartoon goes.
You know what I mean? I mean, which is, you know, again, he's...
Because the manga is still going today.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what's going to happen now. But.
Well, he had delegated. His hand was on the till. He wasn't working on it quite the way he was when he was younger, mm-hmm. but he still had his strong influence on what it was, the notes of what, it, you know, where the story was
for
going,
sure, yeah.
What we want to do, what's, you know, certain things with the fights, but not sort of like, again, the super everyday hands-on things you can write. More like an executive producer, mm-hmm. sort of like, I'm in charge of the Dragon Ball Inc. kind of thing. And that this brings us to, unfortunately, you know, him passing away from this, was it a hematoma, right?
Yeah.
Hematoma.
So
all right. Yeah.
Doesn't that suggest a hit? Got hit in the head?
I mean, not to get too personal, but we have a friend of the show who had a similar issue when he was overseas. I mean,
But how poetic is this? Goku starts by hitting his head. Am I right? And that's the way he goes out? Or possibly? The same way he came in as the way
he
came out.
I just hope that here's what I'm going to say. I hope that Akira is with King Yama. And that's all I'll say about what you just said. I hope he's with King Yama.
I'm still learning nothing about this class.
Goku, when the beginning of Dragon Ball, supposedly when Goku came to Earth, he hit his head, and that's why he became
You know, so you know,
and
what?
He was actually sent there to destroy Earth.
We're going to me and John will now start talking about
plot
and characters. Okay, so if we're gonna get into like the you know,
yeah, you better teach. There's a half an hour left to this class.
Okay, no, don't worry about it. Okay, so you have the basics of these sort of the background sort of the stuff that's going on. You've seen some of the battles. No, you've seen some of the seen some stuff, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm gonna say again, what is this world? I just want you to think of it as sort of like it's Japanese Justice League, with Goku as the Superman. It's if every Justice League, you know, what is the problem with writing a Justice League story when you have all of those heavy hitters and then also effing Superman?
Keeping Superman interesting.
Because ultimately, even among all of those guys who are considered as quote unquote equals, you know, you're going like, nah, not really. At the end of the day, you better find some way to occupy this guy. He's too big of a powerhouse. You know, when I think of the heavy hitters in the Justice League, I think of Superman, I think of Green Lantern, I think of Flash. Those guys have a power set you got to be like, yeah, we got to come up with something to counter that.
Here's my question, though, because the one thing I did not gain out of any, because it's really a miseducation of this crap, right? You know, what is his kryptonite? Is there kryptonite?
Grabbing his tail, and his love of battle
and arrogance. He, an example in the Android saga, right, leading up to Cell. I know I'm jumping around here. There are a lot of times where like they could have taken the enemy out, but they were like, no, let's watch him absorb him because we want to fight him at a more powerful level.
I told you about this when Vegeta leaves Earth. He's like, no. I know he just tried to kill us all.
Yeah,
but I want to face this guy at his best the next time.
Yeah, everyone had a chance to stop Vegeta at the very end of their first fight, but Goku literally
Krillin's got a sword
and is like, "Let him live, because I want to fight him again as more powerful."
This gets into I want you to imagine again a Justice League where
arrogance is his kryptonite.
there is a whole thing about grabbing his tail that for a long time was a whole thing about like he had the tail, and if you grabbed him by the tail, it was like super painful, and you could like submit him. Of course, that you had to get past his ultra martial arts abilities in order to.
The other thing. It's you describe it as a martial arts thing. What the guy turns into a gorilla. All right. I mean,
Let me finish once again.
How is also the old man hulking out? By the way, I know something
that's
about
form. Yeah, this is the form training. So again, as I said, I want you to imagine.
What he didn't show on the show is that he just took a little blue pill.
Yes. That's in line with Master Roshi. That's 100% Master Roshi. I noticed that the Kamehameha is a blue color.
That's right.
And looks like a sperm.
Blue.
And it looks like a sperm.
Where does he project it from?
Right from the crotch. Right.
From the waist area.
Yeah. So, all right. So
I know what that is.
I know what that is. Right. So
I mean the Kamehameha. Not
so
the,
again, not a lot of a lot of it is sort of like these. A lot of these colorful characters, super powered. A lot of them with a sort of a sometimes a specialized power that eventually Goku either learns or masters himself or finds a counter for. And this again goes to what I was saying about the whole martial arts sort of like, this is a world where the characters, if you train hard enough, you can get an ability. There's very few I was born with the sort of mutants or this is all just purely my physical form. I can't surpass it. Even when you have a physical form, they get into the whole transformation thing. This is, I have like five separate forms that I'm keeping that can give me an edge here in this fight or whatever. Dragon Ball Z, getting past Dragon Ball, is when it gets into either intentionally or not, a lot like American comic books. We get space, we get a wider array of powers, the powers get larger and bigger. Goku is Superman, Ed. So let's go down the list of this everything that's the same. Who is Superman? Superman is the last survivor of the planet Krypton, sent here by his father Jor-El. He is raised by some country bumpkins. to have all this good morals and everything, to stand up, you know, be a stand-up guy. He eventually adopts the moniker Superman to become the greatest, most powerful hero on the planet because he's granted all of these great physical powers by being on planet Earth. Who is Goku? Goku is a survivor of his destroyed sand race, sent here by his father, Bardock. He is found by an old man, a country bumpkin, who, even though he's been programmed to destroy the world as part of the Saiyan Empire, hits his head, becomes this sweet little kid who is then raised by this man to teach his basic martial arts.
Is that an intentional?
I don't know. This might be, as they say, just like parallel evolution, because the parallels are there, especially once we get into Z.
And Goku's adopted father is Gohan. That's his name.
That was his name, Grandpa. And he names his son after his adopted father, just as Jonathan Kent is often the name of any offspring of Superman. Yeah. And eventually he does get a Jonathan Kent. His son becomes a big part of the show. He is, like we've said, he just wants to fight. He's generally a good guy. He doesn't really stand for anything, but he's general morally. Yeah. He doesn't like bullies. He doesn't, you know, so on and so forth. And forget, if you threaten his family, don't threaten his kids or his wife. You're going to die. He's going to end you. He has his Martian Manhunter is, Piccolo, sort of the, was evil, but is now more of a Zen sage kind of guy. He spends most of his time meditating on his own nature and the nature of the universe, but then he comes, you know, it's like, no, it's time for me to kick ass. And he actually kind of raises Goku's son. He's his greatest enemy. And when Goku is dead, he's like, well, look, the bad guys are coming.
Oh, is that the one who self-sacrificed? Is that the one?
Yeah, this is the thing. He has a rivalry with Goku, but he loves Goku's son because he and Goku's son Gohan loves Piccolo because this is my, you know, the truth is, Jonathan, correct me wrong, Goku's kind of a shitty dad.
Yeah.
He's kind of a shitty dad who doesn't really like spend a lot. He'd rather be training and fighting. He dies. When he dies, again, the parenting, it goes down to Piccolo, who, again, his son even dresses like Piccolo because that's his master. That's the guy who originally taught him, you know, how to fight, not his father. His father actually didn't ever teach him how to fight until much later in the series, right? Piccolo's his Martian Manhunter. You got, like, Chien.
Goku's a lot like an Asian anime character of Mike Tyson.
I would
fighting all the time.
And you know what? Here's the thing. You talk about that, the voice acting of like the Goku actor that we know. Mm. Who's King Kai? Oh, sure. Huh. Whereas in the Japanese dub, it is this woman's voice who has a Mike Tyson kind of sound. So I wouldn't. Yeah, you're not off. Goku, you know, Dragon Ball Z is all about, like, getting into he's an alien. Piccolo turns out to be an alien. We get the weird cosmology of, you know, what the world, all the different masters. As I said, he has died. He eventually trains with all of these different, like, supposedly, I guess, spiritual things. But then eventually becomes cosmic. So he's got to, like, they got to start telling us, like, well, what's the setup here? It's like, well, you have, like, warlords like Frieza, who is, like, the big enemy of the Dragon Ball Z, you know, saga when it starts, who is the guy who destroyed Goku's planet and killed all of his people except a handful of them because he was afraid of this legendary Super Saiyan thing. Eventually, it's like, well, we learned that Piccolo's is also an alien. It's his people who created the Dragon Balls. Mm-hmm. And in a sort of a whole thing of, like, well, we want to bring back our friends who were died or whatever, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. We are going to have to go to the planet that Piccolo's people are from and learn the true nature of the Dragon Balls and so on and so forth. You learn eventually once he becomes the Super Saiyan and defeats Frieza, and that's the big transformative. It's like, oh, this is the first time we've seen him do this, get this huge power spike up that lasts longer than his other techniques and stuff. He defeats Frieza, and that's when we start getting on the map of the, like, oh, well, what can be above Frieza? this, you know, standard warlord of the universe. And that's when we start getting into the super gods of, you know, these, all these other characters, the Kais. And the Kais of the East, the Kais of the South, the Kais of, you know, so on and so forth. Yeah. And then the Grand Kai, and the, you know, all of these
the
other...
Kai of Time, and the Kai of...
But that is the thing about these villains, it seems like. They're a lot of mustache-twirling, the villainy.
After Frieza, there does seem to be a lot less of, I fought you, and now we're going to be friends. After Frieza, the bad guys, like...
But you know what I'm getting at? It's like the villains are they're very one-dimensional. It's and not that very, very complex, you know, or you may have the opposite. It sounds like that it's the opposite, where a villain ends up turning into a friend, you know, power of friendship, right? You know, and so there's complexity in that. But as far as the antagonist, not so much.
Yeah, the bad guys for bad guys' sakes. I want more power. I want to be the most powerful. In the opposite of how Goku is going about it, whereas Goku is about friendship and competition, not destruction or conquest.
Because if you bring up, like, you know, oh, such and such is a bad father. Okay, there's a good setup for
something dramatic complex, that we're never going to get into. We're never going to really talk about that.
You could argue that the Android and Cell saga does stem from Dr. Gerow, and he has a more of a complex story.
It's beyond my pay grade.
And all the
right, yeah, the backstory of that of the
through the years, and him trying to take his ultimate vengeance.
But even that has this sort of, again, you look at the designs, you look at how it's still, it's still very power mad scientist sort of thing. You're right. There's a lot of there isn't a lot of it is just
you're right.
It's just trying to conquer the new bad guy who wants to be the new
Selimbu, the main powerful villain.
Eventually we do. Yeah.
It's just like I need more power.
Right. And we
literally that's what he says.
And eventually we get to the point, as I said, where he was going to end it, where there was this shift of. They were always talking about how Goku produces a son with an Earth woman. So his son is half Saiyan. So, you know, there was the sense of like, well, he probably, the kids, yeah, I'm sure he'll be strong like Goku, but will he be as powerful as Goku when he grows up? Because he's half Earth person, right? They keep talking about like, Goku, yeah, he's powerful. What is up with his son? Why do we get the sense that when his son
gets angry,
like his power level goes like frightening, like he's really powerful? And there's this sort of like, you get to a villain where the buildup you think is this is the biggest, you know, at the time, the biggest challenge they've ever faced. Goku finally starts training his son, like in earnest, to also develop his Super Saiyan ability.
Hyperbolic time chamber.
And all, you know, extra gravity, yada, yada, yada. And what happens is you realize Goku is setting up that, no, my son, who's still like a kid, mm-hmm. like not a teenager. I think like Gohan's supposed to be like 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And he fights the big bad guy in the bad guy's like, oh, we're having a tournament. Not in a fit. I'm holding my own fucking tournament for you guys to fight me. And he goes through all the guys, you know, like peanut butter. He's just, again, you know, and you think, okay, so Goku's going to come in and he's going to defeat the bad guy. And he doesn't. He has his fight. Boom, 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 boom. And everyone's like, come on, come on, come on. And he's just like, no, I've had enough. And they're like, what? And he's like, yeah, Gohan, you go in there. You take this.
And then right before Gohan fights him.
He Goku, sacrifices his life.
Goku throws a Senzu bean at Cell, so Cell could be back to full power.
To fight his son, because he wants his son to, like, you've got a breach to your, you know, you
it
can't.
It wouldn't be fair, son.
Yeah, this is the sort of weirdness, yeah. This is the weirdness of this character.
I hated that part.
Because Goku, you know, this, I'll touch on the fact that this is the difference and why I always will have a problem with Dragon Ball. It's not about anything. It can't be about anything at this point. And every time they've, like, even if they've tried it half-heartedly, no, it doesn't. Because Goku is fun, he's a nice guy, but he's not, like I said, in between these tournaments and fighting off the bad guys, he doesn't do anything for the world. He doesn't care if there's a fight, you know, no one goes to... No one goes to him and says, Goku, this building is on fire. Can you help us? He doesn't really, I guess I could do it if I have the time. You know, and again, not if you did that, he'd say yes. Like, that's the character. Okay, all right. But he's not like, well, I guess instead of being a half-ass farmer here with my wife half the time, I should patrol the world, like doing good. No, he doesn't care about that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
This is ultimately sort of the issues of the fact that he's a shitty father, and it's not really held against him in the show because it's not that serious in that way. You know what I mean? We're kind of supposed to laugh out.
If there is any kind of explanation for him being a terrible absent father and all that, it is always like, well, I got to train for the next big thing.
What do you want out of me, man? I'm the only guy who can beat this guy.
That's always the explanation. He's like, I got to go train with King Kong, you know.
Yeah, well, whoever, to, you know, with Kami, with this, with Korin.
So is it that just like in Voltron or more recently Avatar, the Avatar state, Voltron, it's the sword, you know, like is the Super Saiyan always the last thing that they
it's
pull
the
out
usual at the end trump of each, card
yeah at the end of each but episode
but now there's like five trump cards because
he's multiple one, two, three GT whatever yeah exactly
and now there's Super Saiyan
God
now yeah. there's Ultra Instinct
yeah it's the ridiculousness of always having to top yourself yeah. sort of thing but
what
Ed
you say,
but Ed look
I'll follow it, what you say it's the MacGuffin
right but not only that Ed Silver Age Superman right got to have a new power for the new story to top off to villain. because he's Superman he has to be the most powerful. That's why the rivalry for those two characters is there, because they're always both improbably more powerful.
But at least...
And that's my problem with the show, especially as an adult looking back, we find these situations and it's the same exact thing, just a different character, but it's the same thing. It's Goku losing, but then somehow just goes to another level and then beats the bad guy.
And to the point where...
It's the same thing. Almost every time.
And it is what it is. That's not to shit on it completely, but it is the formula. Yeah. And if you're buying into that and that's what you want, and this is what I found interesting was, you know, I knew guys on Superhero Hype who, when Dragon Ball Super finally came back, and I dipped into it a little bit because I was like, you know, I'd seen the original. I didn't care about GT because Toriyama hadn't written it. And so I was like, oh, hey, this is supposed to be the new Toriyama.
Coming back,
doing Dragon Ball. And so let me watch it. And I watch it, and I told you. I was like, okay, this is more of the same, just bigger. All right, there's a tournament of the multiverse. Okay, the gods of destruction. Okay, but as you said, same formula. We're going to – no real depth or absolutely, like, development too much
also,
of these characters.
Why should let someone else win?
Which is why
Vegeta ultimately wins.
Why not? Yeah, exactly.
Which is why the Superman argument, I mean, the real kryptonite here is like, you know, bystanders, society, people, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's always the
eventually. Now, eventually what happens with a Goku with some of like the Buu saga,
there's a lot of city destruction.
But here's the thing, Ed. The Dragon Balls are their ultimate, the real ultimate trump card. It's not the Super Saiyan. It's the fact that the Dragon Balls can grant every wish. So, no, seriously. No,
which I did hear. I'm like, no, okay.
Earth will blow up and he'll wish it back.
A couple times. Whole things. And they'll be like, well, you know, well, we got to do the Dragon Balls and we got to bring, you know, characters who died back. Which also gets into the problem of rote formulae because you have everyone can come back to life. Mm-hmm. Almost every character I can think of has Vegeta died. Yeah, Vegeta died. You know, I think was Vegeta the only one who didn't? Oh no, yep, he died.
Goku died several times.
Because you also bring up the how there's training done. Such and such character dies, but he gets trained in the afterlife.
Right, yeah. Spiritual powers.
Oh, he dies on purpose. Like, and Piccolo is like, we're not going to wish him back because we need to give him time to train in the afterlife. Like, that's literal. Now that I'm saying
this
it
is
out
happening. I mean, this has happened, like, you know, like, it's already been, like, 3 weeks.
Do you think
he's done with training? Nah, man, like, you know, the afterlife time works differently.
But see, this is the thing. This is why I'm saying it's Superman. They have, for this is, it's a Justice League where the bad guys plow through everyone else to get to Superman. But Superman's mostly not there. He's usually dead or training, and it's this big buildup of when is Superman going to arrive to finally kick ass. And even then, Ed, even then, it's still going to be 20 episodes.
They did with Zack Snyder's Justice League.
I mean, you know, but it's also that's classic hero's journey general. And the other part about that is the sort of like, well, even after Superman arrives in the big Frieza saga and it becomes, again, a kind of a standard thing, they're still stretching things out. Goku doesn't just arrive, then beat up the bad guy. It's another 20 episodes of he's not as powerful as he could be. He's still got to build up. Oh, we got to do all these others. We got all these side quests. We got to finally.
But that's the thing. They have the son, right? And he, like one can go, for someone like me, I'm like, oh, I don't know the difference between father and son. They look the same, right? You know, and they function the same sort.
And there was supposed to be this, I think, Toriyama was like, I don't want to do a handoff. You know, and it didn't, either he changed his minds, the fans didn't react to it the way he thought it was. It was just one of those, like, you can't change this up. Like, it's Goku, we love Goku, which I always felt short-shrifted Gohan, his son, who was sort of like a more like,
like they ripped Gohan off in the Cell saga because that was supposed to be his big moment.
Right, yeah.
And then he becomes like a coward, let's just be honest, for a couple episodes.
Well,
I don't want to fight anymore.
I think it's more like the weird part. Okay, here's the weird part, the Superman thing.
He got attached to the Terminator, by the way. Right?
Well, no.
Android 16. Cell rips Android 16's head off and then stomps on it.
Yeah, yeah, I said that. I like to see.
That was pretty funny. Yeah.
Wait, what was the speech that the head says? Can you do it for me?
Unfortunately, I haven't seen that scene in a while, but yeah.
It's like you know, so you have the power within you. That I know. It's the decapitated head that tells
the... Don't. You know.
Yes, yeah. Right, you know, and like, it's...
Well, but here's what I'll say.
And then Cell smashes his head, and then Gohan goes crazy. But they rip Gohan off, and this is how they rip him off, and you'll appreciate this, Miguel. He's winning, he's kicking ass, and then Cell decides to self-destruct. Who saves the day from Cell's self-destruction?
Goku.
Goku teleports in the middle of this happening, and he's like, oh, I got this from here, guys. It teleports away. Goku's still, at the end of the day, is the...
It's the sacrifice play of the father saves the son. Mm-hmm. Now he's dead. Now he gives the extra motivation for the son, because even though Goku's like, yeah, okay, oh, this guy's pulling a self-destruct, so I got to get him, I got to save everybody, I got to save my son, and, you know... Hopefully, good. If this kills him, fine. But it doesn't. He reforms himself, so now Gohan's got to fight him and finish. And it's the whole like memory of my father. My father's spirit is with me.
And Cell tries to kill Vegeta out of nowhere. Like tries to blast Vegeta, and Gohan teleports in front of the blast, and he like breaks.
He gets his arm. So he's got to do with this like with his one arm tied behind his back.
And so you can see that
should be the moment where Gohan ascends. And oddly enough, Ed, as you know, and we get into the
the final blast.
Right.
And then what happens again? Somehow Goku shows up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. But that's not. Yeah. Yeah. But that's not Go. It's that is more of the that
spirit
is
spirit of Goku.
The spirit that I'm taking my father's place. That's what it's supposed to be. Okay. Right. You know. Like I'm the new Goku. Right. I'm the new. Like I am the legacy. Mm-hmm. I am. If you love him, you got. Really. Let's be honest. That's what it's about. If you love him.
It's time to love
me, right? Yeah. It doesn't work out. Honestly, here's the weird thing, Ed. Gohan becomes Clark Kent for all intents and purposes, except not as a reporter. Not so much as a reporter. So much as like he finally does what his mother always wanted, which is you're gonna batten down and you're gonna go to school and you're gonna be a scholar. And he wears glasses and he meets his Lois Lane, who happens to be a martial artist girl, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he becomes this hero he calls Saiyan Man.
Great Saiyan.
Doing the things his father never did. Now, instead of
just patrolling the streets.
Which is weird because instead of doing it in a way where it's serious, it shows Toriyama's sense of humor. He's very, it's not like a serious like take on superheroing. He's kind of inept.
He's very cheesy.
It's a lot of commentary on like what Japanese like hero stuff is with he's doing all the poses and stuff. So it does like he's gonna be the main hero, but it's just okay. Well, let's bring Goku back. Have another big, huge villain arc. You know, we get into Boo.
Again, Professor, you're discouraging me, but this is the stuff that...
This is why he wants to watch a show.
Or...
16.
Yes. The cell battle where 16's head gets cut off.
Oh, that's bad. I threw him too far. Gohan, let it go. It is not a sin to fight for the right cause. There are those who words alone will not reach. Cell is such a being. I know how you feel, Gohan.
Mind you, this is a decapitated head.
You do not like to hurt. I know because I too have learned these feelings. But it is because you cherish life that you must protect it. Ugh. This sentimental downpour is killing me. It's so nice of you to help, 16. But I plan on doing this my way. Please, drop your restraints. Protect the
life. He's smiling!
You have the strength. My scanner sensed it. Just let it go.
And then...
Okay,
and then so here's the thing. Observations. There's a background it's music. Going, it goes.
It's like corn.
No. What am I saying? They're trying to set the mood. This actor is doing whatever. He's been given the script. He's like, so wait, hold on. This is a head that's been ripped off of an android. And
do you think the actors on this have that much time? They're given those pages. They're given. Do it in the voice because we gotta pump out 19 of these by the end of the week.
Yeah.
That's not how that. I never realized, however, that Android 16 is Bishop from Aliens. I finally.
Because you love life that you don't want to.
Right, and you can. And then, by the way, you can see that there.
But it's okay to protect life. I was like, is this a Roe versus Wade court argument?
Those things
that better be about something, not about nothing.
That's the thing, Ed. If you can't hand wave that or just accept that as part of like the deal. You don't have to like it. I'm not even saying that I like that stuff because it is awkward. There's an awkward to the writing and the voiceover stuff can be a thing. I preferred watching dubs because I felt I was getting a better sense of the characters. And so like Vegeta is like a cursing, murderous, like just narcissistic asshole. He's not kind of rough around the edges. He's a horrible person. And the American dubs, he's still a horrible guy, but they've softened him a lot compared to like the original stuff.
Much, yeah.
And this is like again, the appeal is the appeal, Ed. I've never got like it, the difference between this and Avatar is Avatar has that depth of going into things and is very deep into character arcs and changes. Here is I told you that's why I kind of wish we could have had Brian Solomon here to talk about this, friend of the show and friend, a longtime friend of Ed
wrestling writer extraordinary.
And you know, because this has a similar appeal to kaiju and wrestling and kind of a similar level of the depth of it. It's viscerally entertaining, but doesn't have a lot going on.
As a young fan who just loved Dragon Ball Z as a kid, I didn't want it to end. As an adult, it could have ended after Frieza. Maybe you could have gone up to Cell. Boo is just the same.
Right, exactly. That's where you start getting into the doldrums of like, I've seen this all before. You're not really...
But it could have been a better show if it ended sooner. Because it was just a lot of repeating.
Yeah, and there's no, it is, and you know, that's where we get into the influence.
And where's the character development? Because there's no real, like I said, there's no character development.
No one changes over time that much.
Not really.
You know, Bulma is the same as she was at the beginning of the show.
The only real character development that really happens is with Vegeta.
And even that, as I said, is standard. You were my enemy. Now, super begrudgingly, hard. on my side.
Yeah, but now he has a family too, and he took a lover.
But Piccolo also has that. Mm-hmm. You know, Piccolo has his whole thing where I am the spawn of evil, and now I also too am your begrudging.
But here's the thing, buddy. So, I mean, you mentioned earlier with the young lady who has her own channel, right?
Yeah.
It's very, it's still a big deal if you are in your late teens, early 20s today.
Video games. Dragon Ball Z video games are huge.
By the way, I have to give you back Xenoverse.
Oh, yeah, your son loves Xenoverse.
Right, okay. He hasn't played it in a while, but he does.
But Dragon Ball fight games are huge. Whenever they're released, it's a big deal and everybody wants them. Everyone loves modding them. That's a whole thing where you can have, you know, Dragon Balls, they hack them, and you can have, like, Kermit the Frog versus... You've got to see Kermit the Frog Super Saiyan mode. All of this stuff has been filtering through the culture.
You killed my friends. I'm getting angry.
Oh, wait a minute.
Now you will pay.
The head of Fozzie Bear just got ripped off.
Yes.
You must give up. The power is within you.
Wow. I didn't see this day going like this. Is Gonzo Vegeta?
but you said he wanted to end it after Frieza, right? So this was kind of also...
It was on auto mode. It was on
the fans kind of also forced.
Well, you can see that he had that moment with Dr. Slump. He had gotten to a point. It was very, very popular, but he was feeling the grind. He was like, "I'm coming to the limits. I don't know where else this can go per se. I just want to do different things. I'm comfortable. Do I have to continue doing this sort of thing?" It's gonna last beyond his death, though. I think that without a doubt, it has transcended finally with his death. He can no longer control where this is going. And as I told you, what is it I said about, like, we are currently in an age where, for whatever reason, because I have not thought that, I don't think they have yet to produce a good American Godzilla. I love the design of the current Godzilla, and there's a lot of feel like those films could have been really good, but they were lackluster all around. For me, if you're a fan of it, that's fine. And there must be fans of it, because they keep making them to the point where Toho had basically said, "Hey, we're not going to make any more of these. So it's fine if America wants to make a whole bunch of them." But eventually, for whatever reason, jealousy, whatever, is some resentment of like, nah, we can't, like, we got to start making our own again. And so they have, you know, you have, I forget what the first one, Godzilla, God, what was it? Where he went through different phases. He had a whole different, like, form thing. What was it called again? But the latest one was Godzilla Minus One, which just won an Academy Award for. And I said, we're in a phase now where there's an American Godzilla MonsterVerse, and Japan is still pumping out. In 20 years, Dragon Ball Z has transcended, has become this big international thing. I think we will absolutely see American adaptations, either animated or live action, being made alongside brand new Japanese versions as well.
I want to see a Dragon Ball Z with the budget of a Justice League. That's what I want to see. Live action.
So, which brings me to the question of this live action
movie with Chow Yun Fat,
2009, starring Chow Yun Fat. I don't know.
What's his name apologized for?
The actor who played Goku in that.
Apologized for the
movie. He had a whole thing once in Kurigatori. He was like, you know, the master, whatever. I'm so sorry we messed up, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Sorry we really screwed this up. Yeah.
The influence of Dragon Ball for a certain generation of, like, filmmakers and creators is huge. So you said, like, you want to see a Justice League. You wouldn't have Justice League look the way it does without anime and Dragon Ball Z having the influence it has had and probably will always influence super-powered fights in live action for all time.
Because here, and I told this to you on the phone last night, I said, there's no way, you can't translate this to live action properly. At all.
No, Avatar, it's, maybe, it's the budget. Right? It's the budget. It's the budget. You can. I think there are a lot of stuff we've seen where it is possible. Could it be? Let me put it this way: they made that Detective Pikachu movie, right? And whether you liked it or not, it was that world realized in live action. Yeah. I don't. It but wasn't that's good thing, though. Was it like, bad? I don't care.
It's not necessary.
I think it's possible to do Dragon Ball Z today.
I don't know whether it's an argument of is it good world building or is it bad world building or is it just you're building fully realized characters.
For me, it looked like the Power Rangers. That last movie, I'm like, dude, come on.
Well, this is what Miguel said, and it's complete truth, which is you can tell the character. Just by their silhouette, you can just by who it is.
Yeah, like he was a master creator of illustrator because that's what it is. You don't have to see Vegeta's details. You just see the silhouette of his hair and you go, oh, and that's Vegeta.
That's a sign of good character creation, yeah. Right? But that said,
how do you adapt that into a live
exactly,
action?
Exactly. Right.
How do you make anything that approaches kind of looking like that also look reasonable in live action?
Yeah.
But we can say the same thing about superhero costumes. We can say the same thing about any number of design elements that have to be adapted for any film.
Like the first several X-Men, from the early 2000s, and you compare that to the most recent X-Men, it's, levels above,
I do think that you could do it. The investment would be gigantic, and I'm not, again... Because
they might not be the return.
We said again, Avatar, Last Bender, River. By the way, we will be having our review for the live action coming. This was kind of an emergency thing of doing because Toriyama died.
And it's been renewed for season two and three.
We've said that, adapting it live action, they're putting in the money. But it also, you have something to play with in terms of the stories and things. The problem with Dragon Ball live action is not realizing it today production value wise. It's what do you make it about? How do you justify that level of investment?
And there's no plot.
And saying here, audience in the world, here's Dragon Ball live action, and have people eventually go, the fighting is cool, but
what else is it about?
What else is going on here? In which case that would mean maybe with the Toriyama dying, that might mean if any live action adaptation, and not just American, they're going to do it in Japan, right? They're going to have to go
condense it.
Do we change some things? Do we have to do something that maybe is essentially change to Goku's character or other things here?
Do we cut three episodes of Powering Up?
But also like the gender dynamics. You said there are no females
until we fight. Introduce Gohan, like we have Goku's wife who was Chi-Chi was a little bit with him when he was a kid who was similar to him. Her father was this big bulky guy, the Ox King, and trained Goku, and you got the sense that, and she was really super strong when she was a little girl like Goku. So she puts her eyes on him and she's there. She does fight in the tournament. But that's a subplot of that's their relationship. And there are, until 18 and Videl, it's not a lot of that, going on. So
what happens with fans, right now?
I don't want to think about the uproar online.
Right.
If they do an adaptation in the future and they're like, there are no, other female characters. Hey, Vegeta has an A at the end of his name. Maybe Vegeta could be a chick.
Yeah, because...
people would lose their shit.
What's happened with DC properties of, maybe the past decade and a half, the rise of something like Harley Quinn. Yeah, because women who are consuming this, or females who are consuming I'm tired of just seeing Wonder Woman, right?
Right.
I'm just tired of seeing.
That's what I mean. It would be out of his hands. Yeah. He's no longer there to decide. what is or is not canon, the fans would have an uproar. But I think, and probably more for an American adaptation, you would maybe have to include more elements of that. I could see a version where you could make Chi-Chi, like if you're doing it, you would be like, oh, this is the main hero's like love interest character. We got to put more meat on the bones. We got to make her more part of the action. Have her be a powerful fighter in her own right. She doesn't have to go Super Saiyan, but we got to like she can't just be in this tournament and just again. And also, we can't just have her show up a couple of times when she's when he's a kid, and then oh, they're in love and they have a kid. Like we got to
because it's very clear. Like Avatar, which is an evolved version of this stuff, right? You know,
highly evolved.
Well, they're highly evolved.
There was a scene in Dragon Ball Super where Vegeta finds out that Goku and Chi-Chi have never kissed in their entire lives.
What?
Yeah.
See, this is the whole thing about like what is this going on? Like
what does it even mean?
And then there's the whole like we find out like because Vegeta and Goku get married and both of the you know Chi-Chi is in that sort of like I, you know, not to get racist, but sort of like both Bulma and Chi-Chi have like an Asian dragon mom kind of quality thing where they're, you know, they're always like you're too lazy. You've got to, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so Piccolo, the third broski, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's going like, they say goodbye. The, you know, wives go off or something. And Vegeta, and you know, he's like, wow, Vegeta, you've really changed. Like, you know, I can't believe, you know, but what's your attraction to Bulma? And he's like, well, she's a feisty, strong woman. He says, don't you see that in your wife? He says, yeah, I guess so. He says, that's because it's in our blood. Saiyan men want strong, you know, overpowered, domineering women. And then Piccolo, who is another alien, who comes from a race that doesn't have gender, that they just split off, that's how they make their own. He's been trying to wonder the whole, like, he doesn't understand human sex to begin with, and he doesn't really understand the dynamics between these guys and their wives, and then just, oh yeah, no, we love, like, dominating women, and he's like, oh my God, this all makes sense now. Oh yeah, like, I think adaptations in the future will have to change things. We'll have to make additions, make more of explore these characters, build it out more. And I think it's no different than probably when we think about how any of the comic book creators and stuff that we had, the things that they created, whether corporate took it away from them, mm-hmm. or again, they died or they stopped. They were no longer around to sort of like guide their creation and where it was going to go. We're going to see that with Dragon Ball. And as I said, you know, they've already done the whole, like, even they've got into the multiverse. Even they've got that as to a thing to justify, here are all these different versions of characters that we can market to you. I will, you know, the idea of a future Dragon Ball movie that includes, like, with all, like, we're doing live action Goku, but guess what? This is a multiversal story. So we're going to have young Goku in it meets, you know, Cell Saga Goku. It's going to probably develop that way. I don't see this as the end. I think that that's a testimony to what this guy, again, you can discount my opinion of, like, I'm thinking, oh, it's not, doesn't have the depth. My opinion does not change how many people this is effective on. How many people do love this and are gonna keep it afloat going well past this guy's.
There's a cult following for sure.
No, it's beyond
it's
cult.
It's a broad
appeal thing that has its roots now in a lot of stuff. I think probably maybe even now more that he's died, he's gonna be even more inspirational. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you in the next 4 or 5 years, we're gonna see some sort of original property from America or Europe that maybe live action, might be animated, whatever it is, that is gonna evoke a lot of Dragon Ball, and people are gonna be like, yeah, man, I've been trying to bust my ass in animation for a while. Toriyama dies. That was the kick I needed to like do something, and you'll see his legacy is gonna live.
How is it in the Japanese zeitgeist? Like, you know, is it still like,
yeah.
a regular thing?
It's still huge.
It's coming out still.
Still, like I said, he was
Dragon Ball Super. Still, every new issues are coming out every week.
And it will be a question of what they're going to do. I will assume that the person who's a female artist, as a matter of fact, that he sort of really subbed the you know, like, he gave the notes, he gave the guidance, but she was really doing the work. She probably is going to take over full time for that.
There are certain things, like, in Japanese culture that have been transplanted over overseas, like Doraemon, which is something that my son used to consume when he was younger.
Right? Doraemon, Pokemon,
which is huge, Yu-Gi-Oh! But that's the thing, something like Doraemon and Hello Kitty, they're really not about nothing. You know, I mean, there's no...
There's a lot of Seinfelds of action.
About nothing, yeah. Like, yeah, right.
Seinfeld of action.
Right, yes.
The golden monkey wrench lives. The golden monkey wrench lives.
Jerry, we've got to find the Dragon Balls.
Why?
Ah, George is getting frustrated!
But Dragon Ball, however, you know...
It's just the fringe. Just the hair fringe turns blonde and goes up. Sorry. Okay, yes. You were saying...
Yeah, but meanwhile, this property, however, has a very different... There's something very special and different aside from everything else. Like, it's like... Here we have, you know, many, many years ago, we used to make, not so long ago, superhero Broadway shows. U2 does Spider-Man.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's like the it's an adult.
We're gonna
becomes
have
an
Dragon
adult.
Dragon Force. Do Dragon Ball Z.
There you go.
I
mean, it has its, it, you know, I will not be surprised if, once again, I said, hey, maybe we're an inspiration for anime. We talked about, you know, we talk about African American culture and their absorption of Goku and Dragon Ball Z. Oh yeah, within the next year and a half, there's going to be a ton of Dragon Ball tribute, Dragon Ball themed tribute rap songs, man.
We gotta get your cousin on.
That. We gotta get AJ to come in and record one. Right? Like, you know, just like it would be like, this one goes out to the goat. Toriyama.
For the Dragon Balls.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll rework our Game of Thrones.
For the Iron Throne. Why was it Jamaican? Did we ever get to the
I don't know why it was Jamaican.
Because I told him, I said, hey, can you give me a little bit of ska going
on? You're going to get a little Irie coming on here. Yeah. Look, it is what it is. It has its, it, you know, like I said, I'm never going to say this is, you know, it's not that deep, but its influence is so wide. That's why I told you, I'm never going to tell someone you got to get into us. I will tell someone, if you want to know where these tropes come from, if you want to understand that history, that would be, I won't necessarily recommend it because it's not going to appeal to everyone. And my appeal for me has that limitation of like, I'm kind of really only here to see super cool fights because I come from it again. Fist of the North Star, Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. I'm a Superman guy. And I've always looked at like, okay, isn't this how Superman should fight? Isn't this how all, not even Superman, being fights in general should be this dynamic and fast and have this array of abilities and things.
And that's a segment of the population that maybe goes to see Marvel movies. And Marvel definitely has a lot more depth than Dragon Ball Z, but you do have a lot of people that show up because they want to see the epic fight.
Right, yeah.
Just for that. No other reason.
And that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think a fan should be offended if you like it. There's not, it isn't Shakespeare, but there's nothing wrong with it not being Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. It just is, and it's
I want to play a little devil's advocate, and I know we do have to wrap soon, but there is a level of mentorship, encouragement, pushing each other to our limits and beyond.
Bullshit!
Bullshit!
Well, that kind of mentoring and
wait, was that actually used in the anime, or was it like...
Yeah, I did my own, that was my own little silly thing. But the spirit of that is true. Like, there'll be moments where Goku's losing, or someone's losing.
Nonsense.
Yeah, and King Kai chimes in, have we thought about it, trying to spirit bomb? You know? yeah.
But yeah, that's why I told you, like, there is this, you get why a young kid... Mm-hmm. Is, we talk about, you know.
And I guess that's what you mean by the power of friendship.
The power of friendship also, you know, let's be honest, you know, this is the United States of America. There's a lot of guys who don't have dads. Mm-hmm. And even though we said Goku is a shitty dad to his actual kid, as a mentor character, as a
metaphoric dad, who's right. always like, do your best.
Do your best. You can do it. Strive to be, strive to overcome your limitations. Yeah. It is this sort of, without a doubt. So like, I think that its effect on the culture has been wide enough and long enough that America's gonna have Dragon Ball fever for a long time. Yes, you in the back.
I want my money back.
You're gonna have to talk to the front desk. There, we do give refunds, but it's a whole. We still need your credit card information.
I'm done. Thank you very much, guys. I'll see you back at the studio at some point.
There's Naruto 101?
No.
Wait, Hunter x Hunter?
No. My wife is on Hunter x Hunter right now. I'll see you back and I'll see you guys until next time.
All right. John, hand me my turtle shell.
To be continued.
Chala, head chala, choo choo shampoo cha, but choo me ho ho ho. He's a mother, mother, a ha. Chala, head chala, he's a big hoo cha, de jo cha, ho jo na. Hi, 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 hi.
Thanks for listening to Be Continued, the Fanboy Podcast.
Thanks, Clark. Please also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and also our various platforms, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.